Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Khan et al. Titled, The Human Coronary Vasodilatory Response to Acute Mental Stress is Mediated by Neuronal Nitric Oxide Synthase. This article was published online June 23, 2017. Joining me today are Associate Editor Fabio Recchia, Lead Author Ajay Shah, and Content Expert Nazareno Palocci. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. The idea that mental stress may have repercussions on the heart is probably as old as the history of humankind. Is there a real direct connection between stressful operations of the brain cortex and cardiac performance? Investigators are now finally defining the mechanistic basis supporting that ancient idea. In this study, Khan and collaborators explored for the first time the effects of mental stress on coronary flow and diameter in 11 human subjects undergoing diagnostic coronary catheterization. Mental stress induced by the Stroop color ward test caused more than 30% blood flow increase in undamaged coronaries, despite the absence of significant change in heart rate or arterial pressure. This phenomenon was completely prevented by intracoronary infusion of S-methyl-L-thiocitrulline, a selective inhibitor of neuronal nitric oxide synthase, one of the three isoforms responsible for the production of the potent vasodilator nitric oxide. On the other hand, the response to substance P, a selective stimulator of endothelial nitric oxide synthase, did not predict coronary flow response to mental stress. These intriguing findings suggest that under physiological conditions, nitric oxide, perhaps released by nerve endings at microvascular level, might function as the mediator linking mental stress to enhanced coronary flow. Ajay, your study is the first important step towards the comprehension of novel and important physiological mechanisms operating in normal coronary arteries. Can you tell us more about the emerging role of neuronal nitric oxide synthase in the regulation of coronary flow and how your findings will help elucidating the detrimental effects of mental stress on pathological coronary vessels?
Thank you very much, Fabio. Well, as you know, we've known for quite a long time that nitric oxide is involved in the local regulation of blood flow, including the coronary circulation, for example, under resting conditions and also in response to stimuli such as exercise or pacing or mental stress. And it has always been assumed that it's the nitric oxide produced by the endothelium, so from eNOS, which is responsible for this local control. And the really key finding of our study is that neuronal nitric oxide synthase, nNOS, also contributes to the local regulation of coronary flow, in this case, in response to mental stress. So I think it really continues to establish a new paradigm where we have to consider that two different isoforms of NOS, eNOS and nNOS, both are involved in the local regulation of coronary blood flow, and that the two isoforms respond to different stimuli. So we're very excited about this because it really, as I say, establishes a new paradigm and gives us a number of important new directions that we need to follow up.
Nazareno, what is your opinion about this new paradigm?
First of all, AJ, I really would like to congratulate you and your colleagues for this interesting paper that continues the saga on neuronal and also is a key modulator of the tone of the resistant vasculature in a human coronary circulation. In my opinion, one of the most striking findings of your studies is that mental stress may involve the activation of perivascular natriuretic nerves in the coronary vessel wall and their autonomic activation. Interestingly, you reported that the baseline response to mental stress in the current study was very variable, from 1% to 77% increase in blood flow, similarly to what you previously published in the forearm. So my first question or observation is that the extent of the perivascular natriuretic nerves surrounding the human coronary vessels may greatly differ from one individual to another. In my view, if NOS-induced dilation is a major mechanism of protection, if it counters, in other words, beta-adrenergic-induced coronary vasoconstriction, as it may occur during mental physical stress, do you think that having more or less of these peptidergic fibers could account for possible variability among individuals as far as the risk of having a vasospasm? And along the same line, you mentioned as a possibility that NOS dysfunction may explain variation in the mental stress response. However, it is also possible that the overall magnitude of the perivascular natriuretic nerve density as a role, and for instance, that this is affected by diseases such as atherosclerosis. I'm curious to know what your thoughts are about this.
That's a very good point, Naz. You're right. I think we would favor the idea that a lot of the variation that one sees in the kind of patients that we investigate in the cath lab might be related to dysfunction of NNOS. And the reason I say that is because, as you know, even though the patients appear to have normal coronary arteries, most of them have some risk factors for coronary disease. And we know that particularly conditions such as diabetes have been reported to influence the abundance of perivascular nerve fibers. So even in the situations where some of this reflects a lower density of perivascular nerve fibers, that in itself, you know, it's a kind of dysfunction, if you like. It's a chronic dysfunction. Of course, one of the problems, challenges of doing human studies of this sort is that it's quite hard for us to prove that. We constantly have to think of designing experiments that might give us a bit of a clue. But we are very intrigued by the idea that there may be NNOS dysfunction. And one of the ways to begin to test this would be to now move on and study other groups of subjects, patients, in a similar study, and then compare that with what we found in this study.
So, Ajay, to go back to the temporal sequence, right, to better understand the mechanisms here. So if I understood correctly, mental stress would induce this release of nitric oxide produced by neuronal nitric oxide synthase, probably by nerve endings, right, which are proximal to the coronary microvessels. And so this would be the first event. And so, I mean, after this initial increase in blood flow, obviously, local shear stress would probably be higher. Would there be a potentiation then, a sort of amplification by nitric oxide generated by endothelial nitric oxide synthase? Or in this particular mechanism, endothelial nitric oxide synthase is completely out of the game?
So we haven't directly tested the role of endothelial nitric oxide synthase, and it's certainly possible that you need both NNOS and ENOS to get the full response. And as you know from the design of our study, the only thing that we were able to do is to define the component that is NNOS dependent. And as you will have noted from the paper, we do not completely abolish the mental stress-induced increase in coronary blood flow. So I think it's possible that both might be involved. But I think one of the ways of thinking about this is to consider that sympathetic stimulation may induce some degree of vasoconstriction, certainly in other beds and maybe also in the coronary. So we can consider the NNOS, the perivascular component, as an important component that antagonizes or prevents the vasoconstrictor component and allows vasodilation to occur, both by NO-dependent and NO-independent mechanisms. So that's kind of how we think about it. The NNOS component perhaps is particularly important to limit vasoconstriction and allow a range of other components to completely mediate the vasodilation.
Another interesting aspect of your study, AJ, is a more technical one, if you like. So mental stress due to this Stroop color award test triggers a very local event, namely changes in coronary blood flow and coronary conductance without altering heart rate and blood pressure. In your opinion, what type of signaling could be specifically implicated in this type of mental stress model?
That's a good observation. And we've found similar responses with a Stroop test when we measure blood flow responses in the forearm. So it does seem that with this particular test, you predominantly seem to stimulate NNOS without having significant hemodynamic changes. And we think that that might indicate specific stimulation of the perivascular nerves. Now, I don't think we can say too much more about the signaling, but one thing that we're really intrigued about is that, you know, when you induce mental stress, obviously there are events going on in the brain, and then you have events going on peripherally. And what we've shown here is that NNOS is important locally, peripherally, but we think that NNOS may also be important in the brain, in the initiation of that mental stress event. So something that I think would be really interesting to try and figure out is whether there is a connection between the NNOS signaling that may occur in the brain to initiate mental stress and the NNOS signaling that occurs in the periphery to mediate the end result, which is a change in blood flow. And if we think about it a bit more, we think that this could begin to give us a mechanistic connection between what goes on in the mind and what goes on in the body. And that is really intriguing, I think, because we have a tractable mechanism, a tractable enzyme that is producing NO that maybe could explain some of these connections between what goes on in the brain and what goes on peripherally, particularly if you have a similar dysfunction of NNOS occurring in the brain and in the periphery.
So thank you, AJ. Thank you, Nads, for this very interesting discussion. And I guess that we learned something really new today, that there is this new paradigm of neuronal nitric oxide synthase versus endothelial nitric oxide synthase and the potential role that it might have in the crosstalk between brain and the peripheral organs such as the heart.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.